All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we get into our lesson here. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for just everything that you're doing in my life and the life of these men. Lord, I just pray that we can put this to practice, what you've shown me today about peace, Lord. And Lord, I'm just thankful that I have the opportunity to share your word, especially on a weekend that we celebrate your son's resurrection. And we should be celebrating that every day, Lord. But tomorrow is Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't be here for not that, Lord. And so I'm just thankful for that opportunity. And Lord, I just pray that you just give me peace and give us all peace, and that it could be prevalent in our own lives. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Brady asked me to teach on peace, and I'm always thankful for the opportunity to teach the Word of God. And I tell Pastor Steve this a lot of times when I teach at Life Issues, that I just really do appreciate the opportunity. You know, and I hope you all do the same thing, that we should take it seriously. We should never be too prideful about teaching the Word of God. So I try to stay humble anytime I have an opportunity to teach or share a devotion or anything like that. And Brady asked me to teach on peace, so you know how God works things out sometimes, where you have something going on in your life, and then, man, God just really makes it clear that you're going to practice what you're preaching, right? And so this is something that I've really needed in my life, and it's really helped me, especially with just everything that's kind of going on. So I think peace is something that every human being desires to have, right? It's something that we are all seeking. And so that's your first blank on there, is that everyone is seeking peace. Every single person on this earth is seeking peace in some shape or form. And in a world where people are so depressed and anxious and fearful, you know, people want peace. And we see that even as a common theme in all the different other religions too. And I'll kind of go over a few of these. And so in Islam, peace is an important part, both for personal tranquility and for social harmony. Muslims believe that peace comes from submission to Allah and following the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. And their greeting, As-salamu alaykum, means peace be upon you. In Buddhism, peace is often understood as that inner peace, or nirvana, a state of liberation from suffering and desire. The path to get there involves meditation, mindfulness, and ethical living. And they also believe in an outer peace that encourages nonviolence and compassion towards all others. In Hinduism, peace is a state of harmony that transcends both physical and mental turmoil. It is a fundamental goal of spiritual practice, and it's linked to the realization of one's divine nature. And this peace is sought through devotion, knowledge, and action. And Hindu teachings emphasize the importance of inner peace as a means of connecting with the divine and the universe. And then in Judaism, peace, or shalom, is a significant concept that encompasses both personal and communal well-being. And shalom refers not only to the absence of conflict, but also the state of completeness, wholeness, and prosperity. And they even have a ritual or song called Shalom Aleichem that ushers in peace, which is sung the day before the Sabbath. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then in Taoism, peace is related to their concept of wu-wei, which I think that's how you say that, which means effortless action or non-interference, and it's the idea of living in harmony with the Tao, or the Way, which is the natural order of the universe, they believe. And they believe by aligning oneself with the Tao, one can achieve tranquility and peace. So all that sounds great, but none of it's true, none of it's real peace, right? So we see in all these different religions, and I'm sure there's many others as well, but that's just some of the big ones that we're looking at. That they're all seeking peace. Some way, somehow, everybody on earth is seeking peace. And it's not wrong to do. The Bible says that we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to seek peace, and we're going to look at that later in one of our points. But they're seeking it in the wrong places, right? They're seeking it in the wrong way. You know, all these religions that we just saw, they have a lot of things that sound good, right? They sound enticing, it kind of even sounds similar to what we believe as Christians, right? You know, having that inner peace and aligning yourself with the universe. But none of that, they're so close, yet they're so far away. And so they're looking for peace in the wrong places, and they're looking for peace in, within themselves and others. And we know that on our own, no good thing dwells in us. So you're not going to find peace there. Or they're seeking peace from creation and not the Creator. You know, the world wants peace. You know, but the thing is, they want world peace. And they want peace on earth, where we live in some type of utopia, right? But that's just not going to happen. That's just not what God says is going to happen. You know, they want that hippie kind of peace, right? Peace, man. It's from the 60s and 70s. I don't know anything about that. I wasn't around for that. But, you know, we even have a Peace Corps that whose mission is to promote world peace and friendship through community-based development and intercultural understanding. That's from their website. That's their mission statement, is to promote world peace. But here's an interesting thing, that Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He does. He leaves us peace, and we'll talk about that. But he, not at least how the world wants it, right? He didn't come to bring peace of how the world wants it. In Matthew 10:34, so I have a lot of references, and they're all on your sheet. We're not going to necessarily turn to all of these in the Bible. I'm just going to read them from my paper, but you can look them up on your own if you want. But Matthew 10:34 says this, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And in another verse of it, it says, "I came not to send peace, but division." And so that's interesting. You know, you're like, everybody thinks, "Oh man, Jesus has come and he's bringing peace on earth." You know, but we know that he does leave us peace, but it's just a different kind. It's just not how the world wants it. In John 14:27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, let not your hearts be troubled." Oh, sorry, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so we know that John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about the Comforter. He's going to send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And it's just a different kind of peace than what the world wants. It's not the same. The world wants some kind of peace that Jesus is not offering. In Philippians 4:7, it says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So the peace that God offers is going to keep our hearts and keep our minds, whereas the peace that the world offers can never accomplish that. It can never do that. That's why you see them seeking it in so many different ways. You know, although the ways those different religions, they try to find peace, it doesn't even come close to the peace that God provides through the Holy Spirit. You know, we can't even sometimes fully understand it. Have you ever been so distraught, so worked up, you're stressed out, frustrated, and then all of a sudden like a calmness comes over you, and you're like, "Man, all right, thank you, Lord." Well, there's no explanation for that. It's something supernatural, right? That's the peace of God. It passes all understanding. We can't even explain when those things happen. So I got a few devotional thoughts before we get to our points today, this morning. So there are 9 qualities for the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's 3 sets of 3. And for you nerds like myself, if you like numbers in the Bible, which I do, and don't get too caught up on the numbers because they will eventually break down. But just something interesting, Galatians has 9 letters, so 9 is obviously the number for the fruit of the Spirit. And in this first kind of set of that you see, you kind of see the Godhead here in love, joy, and peace. In these first 3 qualities, you kind of see the Trinity. You know, it says, "For God so loved the world," right? So there's God the Father. We know that we cannot have joy apart from Jesus Christ, and we learned that last month from Britton. So thanks, Britton, for that. And then we see peace, which is only brought on by the Holy Spirit. So it's just kind of a devotional thought there. So peace, along with all the other 8 qualities here mentioned, can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way that we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, is if they're being produced by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called fruit. Now, we all have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again today, if you're saved, which I look around the room and I do see most of you that I know that are, that means that you have all the Holy Spirit that you're going to get once you got saved, right? It doesn't come and go. But that doesn't mean that you have all the qualities. We have all the qualities being produced in our life, right? So let's look at the difference. I want to look at the difference here real quick between the difference of works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. So if you do have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. It says this. It says, "Now the works..." plural, of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I'm not going to read all of those, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of messed up, wicked stuff that we've all had to deal with in our life, in our flesh. And so that what I want to see, though, it says that the works of the flesh are manifest. But it doesn't say that about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that word manifest means apparent, evident, known, or plainly recognized. The works of our flesh are plainly recognized in our lives, right? I mean, you can see it. When we sin and we mess up, and you can see it. And we know they're all, and we know about it, right? It stinks. It's our flesh. Our flesh stinks, and it's always there. But it doesn't say that about the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit may not be manifested in our lives. It may not be fully known. It may not be evident. And there may be one or multiple of these character qualities that we must work on and we must grow by. So even though the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and here's your blank for that top second blank at top. Even though the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the fruit still needs to be produced in our lives. It still has to be produced. In James 3:17 through 18, it says this: "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." And the verse 18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So fruit does not grow on its own, right? At least not good fruit. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fed. It needs to be watered. And so the same goes for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be fed. We can't feed the flesh. We got to walk in the Spirit. And so we have to make peace. We have to produce peace. Well, how do we do that? How do we produce peace? Well, we do that by walking in the Spirit. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, then we will produce these character qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. So now what we're going to look at, I got 3 points today, and we're going to look at three different kinds of peace that the peace of God is. And we already saw that the peace of God passes all understanding. But what we're going to see, this first point here, is that the peace of God is an internal peace. That's your blank on Roman numeral 1. And that's probably not hard to figure out, right? We just saw from all the different religions, that's a common theme. It's a common theme that we want that internal peace, right? It starts from within. It starts from within inside of us. Because I don't believe we can have outer peace if we don't have inner peace. You know, if we're constantly struggling with our thoughts and our emotions, and we're just always stressed out and worked up, we're not going to have healthy relationships, right? If we don't have that peace on the inside, the peace on the outside isn't going to be there. So inner peace provides, I think, certain things for us, and we need all three parts to be at peace. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says this: "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It needs to be preserved blameless, and it needs to be at peace, right? Our internal peace, it has to be there. Our whole spirit, our whole soul, our whole body, not just part of it. So point A, 1A on your handout, it provides rest to our bodies and our soul. Internal peace provides rest. You know, sometimes we're busy, right? No, anyone here? Sometimes we get busy in life. We get busy at this church. But you know what? We're busy about the Lord's work. And so that's a good thing. There's churches out here that they're busy about nothing. They're not even about the Lord's work. So we're busy about the mission of accomplishing the mission of God. You know, but sometimes we get, you know, busy at life and work and ministry, and things are just kind of hectic, and we just need a rest. In Psalms 4:8, it says this: "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Excuse me. You know, sometimes we just need that rest, man. I love a good nap. I work a night shift. My friend Charles does the same thing. We're on the same shift. Sometimes you just need a nap through the day. We need a good rest. But don't we feel great after a great night's rest, you know? Got to bed early, all the conditions are just right, you got the fan on, got your comfy blanket, or if you like me, a comfy sheet. I just like a sheet. You know, you wake up feeling good, feeling like $1 million. And you know, we even say that, oh, we slept so peaceful, you know, or it looks so peaceful while sleeping. Well, if you have an 8-month baby at home, that doesn't really happen too often, actually. Or if you're Pastor Brian, you don't get a whole lot of sleep. I'm sorry, Pastor. The people have been getting on you about that a lot lately, about you not being sleeping. So, but I just had to throw that in there. Yeah. But rest is crucial. It really is. We need it, especially when we're in the battle. I mean, we're in the battle, and it takes a lot out of us. We're going through it. Spiritual warfare will wear you out. In Psalms 55:18, it says this, "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." We all have many battles we face every day. Different things, different struggles that we have. But when we have internal peace, our souls will be delivered. And that word delivered in that verse, it means rescued, ransomed, and redeemed. And we can rest in that. And the second thing that internal peace provides, and point B there, is reasoning to our mind. Right? Provides reasoning to our mind. What we're really talking about here is being sober-minded. And when we have internal peace, we're going to be sober-minded. And we're going to have a sound mind. And this peace will help with all of our emotions and our feelings. But we must be spiritually minded. To be able to be sound mind and sober minded, we got to be spiritually minded. We need to walk in the Spirit. That's what the whole thing is talking about with the fruit of the Spirit, that we have to walk in the Spirit. And Romans 8, 6 and Romans 8, whole chapter there is going to really deal with walking in the Spirit. So if you ever get a chance, just read that chapter, and that's really going to help explain, you know, dealing with the contrast of the flesh and the spirit. But in Romans 8, 6, it says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Yeah, praise the Lord for that. If we're spiritually minded, then we're going to be sober-minded. And I tell you what, it's a whole lot easier to have peace in our lives when we're spiritually minded and not carnally minded, right? When we're flesh, living in the flesh, and we can't think clearly. Right? We're not doing things properly. We're not doing things decent in order. You know, a couple weeks ago, I taught at Life Issues. I'm going through a series on Peter, and I've taken different passages from Peter and just kind of breaking down some of the things that he struggled with and apply them to people in recovery. And, you know, I talked about our emotions and our feelings and being sober-minded and how that we live in a time where our emotions and our feelings have more authority than the truth. Amen. And it's sad. And I think Peter often struggled with his emotions, and I think he knew that, but I think he knew what to do to help with it. In 1 Peter 1:13, he says this, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. So it provides reasoning to your mind. And the third thing that it provides, in 1C, it provides relief to our heart. Provides relief to our heart. Isn't it a relief to know that we have eternal peace? Man, it's just an awesome thing. In a world of people that are full of anxiety and worry and depression and fear, man, it's nice to know that we can have that peace. We have to let this peace rule in our heart, though. We can't just let it rule in our mind. It's got to rule in our heart. It's got to dwell in every part of us. And we can't have eternal peace if we don't let it take us over. We got to let it consume us. Let that peace consume us. In Colossians 3:15, it says this, "And let the peace of God," let it, you have to allow it, "let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." When we have that relief, man, we're thankful. We should be thankful for that peace that we have. So then the second point that we see is that this type of peace is an external peace. We see that's an inside, internal peace, and it's an outside, it's an external peace. Now this type of peace deals with others and all of our relationships. But it also deals with how we live our lives. You know, sometimes we just live a hectic, chaotic life. Some of you here can testify to that. I've heard some of your testimonies, and I know you've been there just as myself. Lived a crazy life. But that should not be the case, though. 1 Timothy 1:1-2 says this, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's the type of life we should be living. Quiet and peaceable. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be going out there and just doing amazing things for the Lord. But a quiet and peaceable life. Now, before I was saved, I lived the opposite of this. I lived a crazy, chaotic life. And full of just sin, and I don't miss any of that. So now I love this verse because I desire to live a quiet and peaceable life, and hopefully you do too. And so the Bible is written to three groups of people, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. But now we really, if we think about it, we really have two categories of people. We got the lost, and we got the saved. And we could look at every person in the world, and we could put them in one of those categories. You're either lost or you're saved. And so the Jews and the Gentiles are both lost, and the church was saved. So this first point that we see of an external peace is for all people. We need to do this with all people. We need to greet people. So in 2a, greet people with peace. Every person we encounter, we should greet them with peace. We see this as an example from the Apostle Paul. Every epistle that he wrote, except for the letter to the Hebrews, which if you believe he wrote the Hebrews, which I do, but every known letter that he wrote, all 13 of them, he greeted with a similar greeting that says this: grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Or some version of that. It kind of changes a little bit. Maybe he says peace unto you or something like that. But it's pretty similar on that version. And we also see a similar thing from Peter in his two epistles, in 2 John and in Revelation. We see a similar greeting that they are greeting them with peace. And so the point here is that we need to greet all people with grace, and we need to greet them with peace. We need to start off with every relationship that we have and every conversation that we have with peace, right? But sometimes we just don't do that. Sometimes we have people in our lives that just get on our nerves. We are annoyed every time we see them, or we simply just don't like them. I know we all have someone like that in our life. Someone at work, maybe, they come around every time, and you just hope they don't talk to you that day. And I would be lying if I say that this never happened to me. And I know it's not right to be like that. And this hasn't happened for a while, but when I first started at my current job, and so pretty close to the beginning, there was a guy there that, you know, he eventually got fired, but he was quick to tell you when you messed up, when you did something wrong. He knew everything. He knew how to fix every machine. And then on top of that, he just told all these exaggerated lies. And so, needless to say, I did not greet that guy with peace at all. Probably ever. And it's sad to say. And you know what that did, though? It caused many missed opportunities to share the gospel with that guy. It really did. I had multiple opportunities to talk to him. But because I had it set in my heart that I didn't like him, that I didn't share the gospel with that guy. And so why do we need to greet people with peace? Because for the saved people, we miss the opportunity to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. And for lost people, somebody's heart's going to be ready to hear the gospel. And we need to make sure our heart is right to share it. Right? So we got to greet people with peace. Next thing that we see, we need to grow in peace. And this is for saved people. So if you're born again, this is not met as a choice. We're not supposed to, I'm going to grow in peace with this brother, but not in this brother. No, we're supposed to grow in peace with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to have unity and edify one another. You know, we got to get along in a world full of strife and division. I sure don't want to go to church and have to deal with the same thing. And I'm thankful here at this church. I don't see a lot of that, but I know it happens. I know there's division. You know, there's a lot of schisms. There's a lot of isms. All the isms cause schisms is what I like to say. So I don't want to come to church and deal with that. And I like what Pastor Jeff Bartel said about a month ago when he was here. He said the same spirit that dwells in me is supposed to get along with the same spirit that dwells in you.
That's right. Yeah.
But sometimes our flesh just gets in the way, right? Amen. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it says this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We need to endeavor, we need to make it a point to keep that bond of peace. You know, it's the glue that holds us together. When we say, you know, we're spending some quality time with our kids and with our family, you know, we say we're bonding, right? And we need to do the same thing with our spiritual family. We need to spend time together, we need to fellowship together, grow together. And we need to do that because of the bond of peace, and that's what holds us together. So that's for saved people. And the last one that we have for external peace, and I don't want to be negative here, but this is for lost people, but we got to give up our expectations. Sometimes we have too high of expectations for lost people. Lost people are going to act like lost people. They're going to do what lost people do. And there's nothing we can do to change that. And sometimes we are expecting them to act saved. We expect them to act a certain way, and it's just not going to happen. You know, people say that they can change. Maybe, but not truly. I think only true change comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're not a new creature in Christ, you're still the same creature in the flesh. You know, our relationships with lost people, they're just different, even among our own family. And so this is why I say, like, this week has been one of the things that God has, man, it's just been amazing how God has given me the peace, because some of you know the situation with my family and all the drama and all the craziness going on with that. And tomorrow, we're going to Easter. We're going to family Easter, and my parents are going to be there. And so we're going to be at peace. And it's going to look different. They want a different kind of peace than we do. But that's fine. But we got to have boundaries, and we got to stick to them, you know? So something to note is that sometimes lost people will claim that they're saved. And this is how we can tell if they are. Right here, the fruit of the Spirit. This is like a gauge to see if it's true or not. Is the fruit of the Spirit being produced in their life? This is what we determine whether they're saved or not. And if these character qualities are not evident, it can help determine if they're toxic and when to set those boundaries. So we should try to have peace with everyone, and God will give us peace with everyone. He will. He'll give it to us. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we got to make sure we're pleasing the Lord and we're serving the Lord if we're going to be at peace with our enemies. And we can be at peace with people, but I don't feel like that means that we have to live life with them. We don't have to go out and spend all of our time with them. And sometimes it's just not possible. We just have people in our lives that we could be at peace with, but it's just not possible to live peaceably with them. And that's what it says in Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We should strive for that. But sometimes we just have people that, I'm not going out having lunch with you. You know, we're not, you know, but we're going to be at peace. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Then our last point for today is point number three, Roman number 3. It's an eternal peace. We saw that's an internal from the inside. It's an external on the outside. But more importantly, this is an eternal peace. It's something that lasts forever. The peace of God, we will have it with us forever. While we're here on this earth and once Jesus returns. It's never going away. In Ezekiel 37:26, it says this, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. The peace of God is eternal, but there are a few things that we need to do with it, right? It's there, but here's the thing. Point A, we got to pursue peace. Just like Brady was saying, that's awesome. I think God doesn't make mistakes when He gives us those things to share. We got to pursue it. We got to go after it. We got to seek it out every day. It's not like when we feel like it, today I'm going to have peace in my life. No, it's got to be an everyday thing. And 1 Peter 3:10-11 says this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You guys ever see this on the back of a bumper sticker? I'm going to write this on this board here real quick. Like on a hoodie or a bumper sticker, it says, no Jesus, and then it says, no peace, right? If you have no Jesus, you have no peace. But then at the same time, and like normally in a different color, it has, no Jesus, amen, no peace. That if you know Him, you do know peace. But how do we know Jesus? How do we get to know Jesus? We got to have peace. We got to pursue it. How do we know Him? Well, get by getting in His Word, right? This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, right? We have to get to know Jesus on a daily basis with the capital W. Word of God, capital W. Let this mind be in you. We got to seek it out every day. If we want these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, we got to be in the book. So we need to seek it and we need to ensue it. And that means we need to find it and we need to follow after it. So if you're sad, depressed, anxious, worried, stressed, angry, frustrated, get in the Word and ask the Comforter to comfort you. Because He will. He will. If we want to produce peace, we must pursue peace. And then our last point that you see here on Roman numeral 3, we got to preach the gospel of peace, right? We got to preach it. I was telling my wife all this week when I was like, man, we got to practice what we preach. Amen. And so this is a big one. If we want to produce peace in our own lives, we need to preach peace. We need to preach the gospel of peace, and we need to practice what we preach. In Romans 10:15, it says this, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So here's the thing. I don't like feet, and I don't know how they can ever be beautiful other than when we take our feet and we go preach the gospel. That's the only way they could be beautiful. So we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, and how can we have the fruit of the Spirit? Well, how do we walk? With our feet. They need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what's part of our armor of God, right? Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So whatever shoes you got, doesn't matter. You got your slippers, flip-flops, tennis shoes, work boots, rain boots, tap shoes. I don't care. You better put them on. You better be taking them to go preach the gospel of peace. So in conclusion, in a world where everyone wants peace, but are at war with themselves, with others, and with God, we need to make sure that we have eternal, internal peace inside, and it provides rest to our souls, reasoning to our minds, and relief to our hearts. We need to have that external peace where we greet others with peace, which is for all people, and we grow in peace with our brethren, and we must give up our expectations for the lost, at least until they get saved. And then, most importantly, that eternal peace that's forever. We need to pursue it, and we need to preach it. And we need all three of these to be whole. Because if you're missing a piece of peace, you're never going to be whole. And you're never going to be holy. Right? So we need that inner peace, that outer peace, and that forever peace. And so we talked about the peace of God. But here's the thing. We cannot have the peace of God, the peace of God, if you don't have peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You're never going to have peace of God. You're never going to have that internal, external, eternal peace if you don't have peace with God. And so that's your last blank there, with. And the only way to have peace with God is if you got a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. And so I look around the room, I feel like most of you do, but if you don't, if it's not real in your life, you got to make it real. I mean, what better time to do so than on Easter weekend? So with that, that's all I have. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll be out of here. So, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what He's done for us, for dying the death that we so deserved and paying the penalty for our sins with His blood. And Lord, we know that He died and He was buried, and most importantly, He resurrected, Lord. He resurrected and He sits at the right hand of you right now, Lord. And we know that He just desires a relationship with each one of us, Lord. And I pray that we all have that. And I pray that we all have this peace that passes all understanding, Lord. We can't explain it. We don't understand how you do it, Lord, but you do it. And it's a supernatural thing. And I'm just thankful for it. I just pray for all these men here, Lord, that we can be at peace. We can have peace with the lost people in our lives, the saved people in our lives. We can have peace with everyone. And Lord, but most importantly, we can preach the gospel of peace. That we can go out of here and we can tell others about you. And Lord, I'm just thankful for those opportunities. And thank you for this ministry. It is a blessing to have men in our lives that we can be strengthened with and forged together. And I'm just it's just a true blessing to be part of a church that puts the focus where it needs to be. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you, and help us to have a blessed time tomorrow as we celebrate your son's resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.